noticed yet, the theme of the morning is joy. It is the way we talk about the third Sunday in Advent. We light our pink candle. I mean, what's more joyful than pink? And we sing joy to the world. We sing it aloud, and we will sing it again, and we will sing it again. We sing joy to the world today, and we can see joy all around in our world. I mean, wherever you go, I saw this last week, someone with a sweatshirt that said joy. You can get a sweater that says joy. There are throw pillows that you can put on your couch that say joy, or stocking hangers or appetizer plates, because to the world, joy is a good feeling that you should go after, an attitude to choose, and a really good marketing strategy. I mean, who doesn't want joy? And if you could just buy it, you would. So here are some of the ways that the joy is to the world. So let's see some of those things. Joy is a Disney character who always sees the best in everything. Joy is, a brand of ice cream cones. And if you love ice cream like I do, you know that kind of feeling. What else? Kinder Joy eggs. These are these little candies that kids can get. You open them up, it has this weird cream filling, but also a toy, as if you could buy joy. Ooh, Almond Joy. Almond Joy is always the candy bar that comes in my kid's Halloween bag, and I think, who puts this in a kid's bag? Except someone said to me the other day, it's for the parents. And so the parents get something afterwards. Well, some people find joy in their hobbies, the joy of baking or the joy of cooking. Well, as a cola drinker, I have sometimes felt like I might know the joy of Pepsi. This was one of their slogans years ago. And then this one is the one that floors me, the joy of a dish soap. When was the last time you washed dishes and felt joy? Maybe when they were done, or maybe when someone else offered to do them, but the dish soap itself does not bring joy. And then this last one, Tex Joy. I've never heard of this brand, but they make something called imitation butter flavor. Ew, because joy to the world is something different than what we mean when we sing about joy to the world or joy for the world. When we sing that, we are thinking about a joy that lasts, a joy that isn't dependent on our circumstances, and a joy that doesn't require us to have more stuff or more things. Christian joy is so much more. C.S. Lewis wrote, joy is the serious business of heaven. And in the Bible, the word joy appears over 240 times. The kids are coloring a joy page today. And the Bible speaks of the all these times, the Bible speaks of the joy of the Lord. It speaks about the shouts and songs of joy and good news of great joy, like we hear in our Christmas story. And we don't have time to look at all of those passages today. We're just going to look at one example of joy, and it's found in the book of Habakkuk, one of those prophetic books that we don't read very often. And Habakkuk was a prophet. He was a person that was appointed by God to speak to the people, to draw them into relationship with God, especially when they went astray. Habakkuk lived in the 5th and 6th centuries before Jesus was born, and he was in the southern kingdom. So when God created formed the nation of Israel, at some point they started to argue with one another, and they divided their kingdoms. There was a northern kingdom called Israel and a southern kingdom called Judah. And that is where Habakkuk is sitting, and that is where Habakkuk is writing. And Habakkuk writes a book that is only 3 chapters. One of the brief ones in the Bible. And the first 2 chapters of Habakkuk is a dialogue between the prophet and God. They are speaking back and forth to one another. And Habakkuk is lamenting. He is telling God about how awful he sees the state of the world, namely the state of Judah, where he is living. And he says, in this place, there is government corruption, there's violence and injustice, and nobody reads the Torah or the Bible anymore. Habakkuk says, this is terrible. This is what's going on. What are you doing, God? And then God responds to Habakkuk with a plan. He says to Habakkuk, pay attention, because I'm going to do some amazing things. But the amazing things that God is promising include the destruction and defeat of Judah by the nation of Babylon. Ooh, says Habakkuk, that sounds terrible. Babylon is even worse than Judah. How can this be? But God assures Habakkuk that at some point Babylon's time will also come to an end. Habakkuk sits there stunned, And he's left with this terrible news, struggling to believe in a God who is good when the world is so evil, when there's so much injustice and suffering. But the end of chapter 3 shows really what he thinks or how he resolves that. He prays a prayer and he says this, "When I heard it," what God said, "my stomach did flips. I stammered and stuttered. My bones turned to water. I staggered and I stumbled. I sit back and wait for doomsday to descend on our attackers. Though the cherry trees do not blossom and the strawberries don't ripen, though the apples are worm-eaten and the wheat fields are stunted, though the sheep pens and sheep are sheepless and the cattle barns are empty, I'm singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God, counting on God's rule to prevail. I take heart and gain strength. I run like a deer. I feel like I'm king of the mountain." Looking at Habakkuk as an example, I want to say a few things about joy today, about what we mean in the church when we talk about joy. And the first is this, is that joy is gritty. Grit means a resolve or a tenacity. A gritty joy hangs on and refuses to be extinguished even when things are difficult. Gritty joy shows up in the yets and the buts in the Bible. When writers say things like, "Things are terrible, and yet I will praise God. Life looks bleak, but I will continue to rejoice and praise and hold on to joy, even though I don't like what is happening." Gritty joy is not dependent on our circumstances. It doesn't need everything to be right. In July of 2013, a man broke into Community Covenant Church in North Minneapolis. He spray-painted horrible things on the walls of the church, and he set the sanctuary piano on fire. There was extensive damage and a lot of work to be done, a lot of money to be spent to restore the space. And they went about their business and getting their church back in order. But a few months later, I ran into the pastor of that church, and I said, "How are you getting through? What are you doing? What is the spirit of your people?" And he said, "In the African-American church, of which they had many African-American members," he said, "there's a saying that gets sung and spoken in many situations, and that saying is, hallelujah, anyhow. Hallelujah, anyhow, says that the speaker will still praise God and will hold on to joy even when they're not happy. It allows you to say, I didn't want this. I didn't choose this. I don't like it. But hallelujah, anyhow." That is the gritty kind of joy that we see in Habakkuk. While his stomach is doing flips, while he's stunned by the evil around him and he knows things are going to get worse before they get better, Habakkuk in effect says, hallelujah, anyhow. I will sing joyful praise to God and turn cartwheels of joy to my Savior. Joy is gritty. Joy also takes the long view. Habakkuk says, I will sit back and wait for doomsday to descend on our attackers. He says, I'm able to experience joy because I can see beyond this moment that I am in and find joy in the promises of God. Things are bad, but they will not always be like this. Many centuries after Habakkuk lived and died, the author James writes to encourage Christians as they face challenges to following Jesus. And James says this weird thing. James says, consider it joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face challenges or trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. James understood and wanted all Christians to understand that joy is available when we can look beyond our circumstances and trust that God is going to bring goodness out of places that we least expect. God has promised us days when there will be no more weeping or sorrow. Christian joy takes the long view and waits for God to right all wrongs. And Christian joy goes hand in hand with sorrow. Habakkuk's prayer is a litany of sorrows and woes that he sees and an ode to joy to Yahweh. the Bible account and the experiences of our own human lives here on earth teach us that joy and sorrow go hand in hand. I used to think that they were opposites. And then I realized they're companions. And we see that most vividly in Christian funerals, when we gather together and we hold joy and sorrow at the same time. Sorrow at the loss of someone that we love dearly, and joy in having known them and knowing that they are with Jesus. As long as we're living on earth, as long as we walk through the valley of shadows, we will experience sorrow, but God also gifts us with joy. And joy is a source of strength. The prophet Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Habakkuk says, "Counting on God's rule, I'll take heart, and I will gain strength." For Habakkuk, trusting in the Lord gives him the strength to keep on going, to keep moving forward in the world of suffering. The joy of the Lord gives strength to be able to get out of bed in the morning, even when it's dark. It gives us the strength to keep moving forward when we do not see the path. The joy of the Lord helps us to see beyond ourselves and our circumstances. And the last thing about this joy that I'm talking about is the most important. And that is that joy is found in Jesus. That came through loud and clear, kids, with the songs that you sang today, the words that you spoke, the way that we looked at the Bible. We know that the kind of joy that comes from knowing Jesus is gritty. It takes the long view. It can walk hand in hand with sorrow. It gives us strength, and it is a gift that comes from knowing Jesus. At the end of his life, Jesus sat with his followers, and he told them, "The days are going to be difficult, but I will give you everything that you need." Last week, we talked about the peace that Jesus gives. The week before, the hope that Jesus gives. But he said to his disciples, "Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full." Joy is available to all who ask in the name of Jesus. It's a free gift offered by God, and you only need to ask. And asking for this gift moves us closer to the source of true joy. C.S. Lewis put it this way: "If you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must go into the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them." Coming close to Jesus is like moving closer to the flame of a candle in a room that is dark. It's as simple as a prayer that says, "Jesus, the darkness of sorrow is too much. The darkness of sin is too much to bear. Please shine your light in my life and draw me near to you that I might know your joy." As you continue to journey in this Advent season, look around for joy. When you see things that are joy to the world, temporary, manufactured, and circumstantial, may you be drawn to the lasting joy available to all through Jesus. Would you join me in prayer? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this journey that we are on. As we are awaiting your birth, though we already know that it happened, Lord, we walk and we wait and we watch and we anticipate and we celebrate over and over and over again. We thank you, Jesus, for the promise that the joy that comes from you is something that is beyond what we might understand. But we can find ourselves able to be strong and tenacious, to be able to walk with sorrow as we also hold joy. We ask for this gift. Lord, in our own hearts and minds today, if anyone wants to pray, we pray, Lord, please give me this gift of your love, of your peace, of your hope, of your joy, of your salvation, that we might walk in light with you. Amen.
Amen.